Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus Christ. There is none other in heaven or on earth. Welcome to another episode of Hope in Christ with Denise, here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast, where we place our hope in the only hope there is, Christ our Lord.
All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. This is Minister Denise Walker, and I am here. I'm excited about our panel discussion, our healthy conversation tonight. We're going to be talking about the women of Scripture. This is Women's History Month, so we chose to discuss the women of the Bible who have made history. We know in Scripture there were not a lot of women's name mentioned. And so we're going to talk about some powerful women tonight and talk about how they, what did they do to make history. But before we begin and have each one of the panelists introduce themselves, I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, oh God, for this opportunity. We thank you, oh God, for this time to study your word, to speak your word, God, that some woman that's listening to us may know that she has the ability to walk in the purpose that you have given to her. Father, we thank you, Lord God, as we discuss women to the audience, those that may listen to the replay, somebody that may listen to the podcast, that they would know, God, you called us to purpose and destiny, oh God, and that we should not fear and we should not be intimidated by anyone because you called us, oh God, with your great purpose. And so we thank you and we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise, oh God, for what you are doing in the earth in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, thank you all for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. For those that are watching the video on Facebook, on the different platforms of Hope in Christ, we will also have the podcast audio available for you to listen to the playback as well. So I'm going to say a little bit about me, and I'm going to have each panelist introduce themselves. So as you know, I'm the founder of Hope in Christ. I'm an author, speaker, educator of 21 years. And I love the Lord. And so I'm excited to talk to women about the women of God who walked this earth so many years ago, and they were able to fulfill the purpose that God placed inside of them. So we're going to have Tanya Franklin introduce herself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tanya Franklin. I am an author. I'm also a minister as well. And I'm a speaker. And I'm also a business empowerment educator. And I love just being in the presence of these women. I'm also a member of Hope in Christ Book Club.
Thank you, Tanya. And then Tashana, can you introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. I'm so honored to be here. My name is Tashana Hanna. I am also an author. I'm a women's empowerment coach, and I am an advocate for single moms. So being able to speak about women in the Bible who have empowered and inspired even me is just awesome. And I'm so glad to be here on today. Thank you.
Thank you, Tashana. And then Olivia Shepherd is going to introduce herself.
I'm Olivia B. Shepherd. I'm a transformation and business coach. I'm also an author, podcast host, and blogger. I help women like myself that suffer from mental illnesses. So I coach a lot of those ladies to their greatness, to keep them from the self-sabotaging behavior. I also, this is my very first time doing this live with these ladies. So I'm super excited about what's to come tonight as we discuss, you know, all of the courageous women in the Bible.
Amen. Amen. So thank you, ladies, for joining tonight. I'm excited for those that are listening to us and who will listen to the audio of the podcast. I'm excited. We're going to be discussing some amazing women in Scripture, and we're going to debunk some of the myths about women and what women should be doing and their call of God on their lives. So I'll begin with Priscilla from Scripture. So I'll start off, and ladies, you can piggyback as I share. So I was so excited to read about Priscilla again and dig a little bit deeper about Priscilla in scripture. And we know her from being partnered up with her husband, Aquila, in the book of Acts. So Priscilla is found in Acts chapter 18. And she's pretty much a church leader and an evangelist there in Acts 18. And what I thought was amazing about her, that she was able to walk out her purpose right alongside her husband. She didn't feel intimidated. He allowed her to move in her gifts, and he did not speak over her. We noticed that we know she's a teacher because in the book of Acts, when they made it to Ephesus, they traveled with Apostle Paul, who is one of my favorite people in scripture. They traveled with him. And once they made it to Ephesus, there was this man, Apollos, who he was ministering. He was, you know, gifted in knowing the scripture, but he was a little off with when it came to ministering about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Priscilla and Aquila pulled him aside. They didn't openly tell him that he was wrong or that he needed to know a little bit more, but they pulled him aside and they taught him more about Jesus. It said, the word says they taught him more accurately. And they said that this particular person was a man. I'm going to keep emphasizing that. He was a man and he was being taught by a woman. And so I'm going to emphasize that because there's a scripture I want to point to. And it says that she and her husband established a church in their home, and they were Apostle Paul's helpers. And we know that Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. And so he specifically mentions her name in his letters. And so that is powerful to me to, again, learn a little bit more about Aquila. And so before we kind of talk a little bit more about, Priscilla. Before we talk a little bit more about Priscilla, there are some scriptures that a lot of times, and even today in 2021, there are still people that say women should not be ministering, right? And so the one scripture is Galatians 3 and 28. Galatians 3 and 28, the scriptures say there is neither no Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ. So I wanted to make sure that we understood that. And there's another part of scripture that says in the spirit, there's no Jew, no Greek. And so we understand that scripture. And then we have 1 Timothy 2 and 12. Well, we have Apostle Paul, the very person that is actually the one that Priscilla is helping, saying that they don't allow women. Basically, he doesn't allow women to speak right in church. As I was reading that, we know the answer to the question, but I was saying, okay, so the word of God doesn't contradict itself, right? And so it would seem that these two scriptures contradict themselves, but they don't. Because what Apostle Paul, what we notice even with Apollos, who was a man that Priscilla was teaching, Apollos was still a little off with the doctrine. And so what Apostle Paul was saying, that the women hadn't been taught as much. So they had to basically learn the word before you can teach the word. Because you can tell somebody something about the word and it just messed their whole life up. Because they start learning that and believing that. And it's wrong. And so that's what Apostle Paul was saying. He wasn't saying that women should not minister, but he was saying that women should come to know the scriptures, know the doctrine of what they need to know before they start ministering. So I just want to share that about Priscilla. So I don't know if anybody want to piggyback on what I just shared.
I like the fact that they pull Priscilla and her husband, pull John aside. You know, nowadays, most people, you know, want to blast you out. You know, they need to put you, you know, let you know that they know, you know, so they loud about it. But they pulled him aside, not to ridicule him, not to say, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, but to let them know this is more that you need to learn. You know, we're not going to bring you out in front of everybody. We're going to sit you down. We're going to talk to you because we understand that you're trying to learn, you know? So I love that part of the story because, and Paul is also one of my favorites as well, because he also proves too that you can come from not knowing. You can come from not knowing, not doing what you need to do, be blasphemy, and then come be straight again, you know? So I love that about Paul as well. But, you know, I just love the fact that Priscilla was like, and like you said too, her husband didn't, he kind of stood back. There are a lot of men that are intimidated by women in the church or women. I think my pastor told me a story one time about they went to a church and all of the men sat on the right side and all the women sat on the left side and, you know, nobody interacted with each other. And she was on the stage and it was her turn to speak and nobody clapped. The men didn't clap on stage. It was just rude. And I think it's so disrespectful. So I love how her husband is like, you know what? You know, my lady know things, you know, let her be strong, give her the chance to do some things. So I love all things about Priscilla and her husband, that relationship.
I agree with that. Oh, go ahead, Tashana. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if I could piggyback off of that, I was going to say, I like how you said, Minister Denise, how the woman had to learn the word, right? Mm-hmm. So she showed that she knew what she was talking about and she was confident in what she had learned, that she pulled someone else up and taught them. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's courageous. That's bold, right? And that's just showing how women, when we put our minds to something, we're going to do it. No matter who says that we can't, or no matter what obstacles are in our way. And the fact that she didn't blast him, like you said, Miss Olivia, she didn't blast him shows her nurturing side. Because mothers, we like to pull, you know, our kids and our sons in close to us and say, well, wait a minute, baby, that wasn't right. So you gotta come on. So for me, even though she was a teacher, in a sense, she was like the mother of the church, if that makes sense, because she pulled him in and said, nah, I need you to take a seat and, you know, learn it this way, learn it from my point of view, because I've studied, I've shown myself approved, you know, and so that's what I got from that. And so this is a beautiful story. Paul is my favorite. And what I like about Paul is that even though he was not at all of these churches at one time, he went back and wrote them and said, okay, I need you to fix this. You guys are doing great. Go ahead and do it this way instead of, you know, doing it that way. He sent warnings and corrections and instructions, and himself was a teacher, you know, because he had that experience. But for this, for Priscilla, it shows her nurturing side, her being a teacher, and her being like what they say, one of the mothers of the church, because mm-hmm. she pulled him in close to her.
And I like that. I like that, that how you pointed that out about her being the mother of the church. And that's something that is sometimes missing, is that level of maturity and that level of wisdom. Women have always been what they call the backbone of the church. And sometimes we tend to think that the backbone is of a lesser role or position or even authority, but it's a part of the foundation. And so I like how you brought that out. And I wanted to also touch on the scripture that's in 1 Timothy. You know, I've had people to bring this to my attention numerous times. And so that's why it's important that we study to show ourselves approved. And I always tell people, I'm like, when you're saying that, when you're using that scripture as an argument to support that women are mm-hmm. to not be in leadership positions or to be forerunners of the gospel, you have to look at, there's one word that's in that scripture, and the word is usurp. And I think that it was so that it was so on time and so intentional by Paul to even use that word. You know, he didn't just say, okay, well, women, I just want y'all to sit down. He intentionally used that word because what that word means when you translate it, it means to take by force, to take something that doesn't belong to you. So he was speaking to a specific group of women, not women at large and women in general. Because if that was the case, then his own ministry would be contradictory, because prior to that, he was actually teaching the women in Corinth on how to prophesy. He was giving them instruction. So it would, you know, that would be kind of contradictory to his whole ministry. If he goes one place and he teaches and instructs them. And even with Priscilla, I mean, they, him and Priscilla and Aquila, they all worked together. That was his time to disciple them so that they could be ready to go out and do the work. So all of that would be, you know, that would be contradictory of Paul if he would do all of that work and then he comes there and he tells them, no, you're not supposed to do that. So it really is important that when we, when we're building an, a quote unquote argument in regards to roles in society, that we make sure that we are examining the whole matter of the thing, that, you know, we are taking it precept by precept. You know, a lot of times when I bring that up, you know, it kind of like shakes people, you know, they kind of get a little off kilter because it's like, wait a minute, I never thought about that. I wanted to address that because sometimes people tend to take that out of context because of that one word that's missing.
You know, another thing my pastor pointed out too, Priscilla actually sold goods for the church. So, you know, it's like bringing the money in for the church. She was in charge for making sure that they were able to run this church. Okay. So they had, so they didn't just use her. No, she did that. She knew that she had to run this church. She knew she needed to bring these things in, and he used her to do these things. You know, so it was basically like saying, you know, I'm gonna put this in your hand, you know, because you are the mother of the church. You run everything around the church. You know, you see a strong man, but it's always going to be a strong woman behind him, like her husband, who said, you know what? Hey, my wife got it. You know, my wife got it. You can do this. This is how you do it. So I absolutely adore this story a lot. It is a really, really, really good story.
Thank you, ladies, for sharing. And so, again, we have this first discussed Priscilla, who we know it was a minister of the gospel, an evangelist, and a teacher to men, and also to many others that led people to Christ. And so we know as women, you can do exactly what God called you to do. So you shouldn't be afraid if somebody is trying to tell you otherwise. We know that's not scripture because we just went over that. So I don't know which one of you want to share next of the next woman of God that we are going to share on the podcast today.
Well, I'll go. I have Esther. Esther in the Bible, which I kind of took a liking to Esther as well, because she's a queen, actually, you know. All things queen for me. I also like the fact that, you know, Esther didn't have actual parents. So to me, it said to me, it doesn't matter where you come from, how you're brought up, who you're raised by, you can be a queen. Okay, so I enjoyed the story where Esther. It was like it was my second time reading it, so I went over a lot of the notes that I have here. I like the fact that she was courageous. You know, she had the courage to follow through on the actions of trying to save the Jews. Okay, she did that. You know, it's almost like us sitting around thinking about what we're going to do. We always say that we want to help, but Esther took it upon herself to say, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to go out here and I'm going to have enough courage to save the Jews. I also like the fact that she took on a mentor, her uncle. Okay. And I think it's what Mordecai, is that how you pronounce it? She had a mentor. A lot of us go through life thinking that we don't need a coach. You know, we don't need a mentor, that we can just go through life. So even though it was her family member, you know, her uncle, whatever, it was still her mentor. She was there underneath his guidance. And he didn't. And as a man, once again, like Priscilla's husband, as a man, he knew that she was destined for great things.
So he allowed her to do everything. I mean, you know, she was running around making all the plans. Well, you know, how this going to go down, you know? I mean, I so love this story about her courageous actions throughout history. And it told me also, too, that the drive that we have to do, you know, good in our communities, the good that we want to do in our homes, you know, when it comes to raising our children, when it comes to doing raising communities, she didn't think less, you know, of herself that I couldn't go out here and do this. I think a lot of us are so afraid that we don't have enough talent. We don't come from the best background. Again, like I mentioned in the beginning of the story, she had no parents. I mean, well, she had parents, but, you know, she was basically adopted into this new family, and he took it upon himself to raise his niece. So I love that about her as well. And it was another, Faith. Okay, so they had a quote here that I liked a lot from Soren Kierkegaard. And it said, "It takes paradoxical and humble courage to grasp the whole temporal realm now by virtue of the absurd, and this is the courage of faith." So she knew that it took faith to do what she was going to do. Okay, she didn't know what was going to happen. You know, remember, she's a woman. You know, this king, you know, had already had what he wanted, everybody, all the Jews dead. He wanted to demolish everybody. It took faith for her to step up, to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is how it's going to be, you know, planned out. It's going to happen, you know. So I love that as well, because a lot of times, even in our businesses, we get to the point where things don't work out, or because we don't see how it's going to happen first, because we're women who, you know, most of us, and I know we do it all the time, we always want to foresee what's going to happen so we can feel better about how we're planning, because we're planners. So we want to see how we plan it, the middle of it, and then we want to see what the end is like even before, you know, we even sit down. We want to have the perfect plan. But I don't think she knew, you know, that somebody's going to actually listen to her. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was going to become the queen in the state of the scriptures too. I mean, in the passages where, you know, he gave her the ring, you know, like, who does this? You know, like, you know, you got it. You can do this. You can step out here. You can save this particular set of people. And as women, we are nurturers. We're queens, but it takes a lot of courage to get out there and say, this is what we're going to do for our families, for our communities, for our businesses, you know, for our husbands. There are times when we have to be that woman for our husbands, okay? In order for that man to be great, we have to be great as well. So I really enjoyed listening to Esther, because it does take courage to be in business. It takes courage to be a woman, you know, because we have a hard time, and especially African-American women, because we have to make sure that our voices are heard. But we have to talk louder. So when she was hailed the queen, everybody listened. Now, we all can't be queen. We all can't walk around with a, you know, crown on our head unless you want to. I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But I totally enjoyed her, you know, being the queen she was, to arise to the occasion that she had to.
I wanted to say something to what you said about her courage. I also would like to point out about how she relied on faith to be able to stand up against sexism and classism that was going on within the kingdom, because, you know, she could have just, you know, just did like everybody else and just played the role. But she used, you know, she used faith as well as courage to stand up to it, and not to be adverse, but to learn how to help the king to understand that her beauty was not a tool to be manipulated or any of that. I mean, we look at his previous wife, you know, a lot of people look at it as that she was being rebellious against the king's order. But sometimes you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so, but the way that she handled it, it was not a smart move on her behalf, and it cost her. So Esther, she decided to take a different approach to be able to stand up against the sexism and the classism and still be able to be the voice for her people.
Yep. And, you know, too, what I keep going back to the fact that, and it said that they didn't give any details about why she was an orphan. You know, you don't know who her were her parents. They didn't give too much about it. But for women who think that their backgrounds hindered their success, she didn't let that hinder her success. And her uncle didn't let that stop her. You know, her uncle. So it's like you being the orphan and you coming into a home from, say you were coming from abusive parents, and then you go to a home where they're telling you, you are beautiful, you are courageous, you can do all things. And this is what Mordecai does to her. So whether she felt it or not, she had to play that role, you know, and she loved her uncle. So she loved her people as well, you know, because they, you know, she was told not to tell her background. So she had to be courageous for her people, for her uncle, and for herself. And I really like the, I was just so fascinated about the fact that it does not matter where you come from. It does not matter what life situation you were brought into. You can do anything. You just need to take a leap of faith, have the courage to do what you need to do. And it's also, as parents, it also teaches us too to continue to tell your kids, especially your daughters, that you, queen, can do anything. You know, I love, love, love how Mordecai was to her.
Amen. Tishana, did you want to add anything about Queen Esther?
I like how she was even to come into the king's palace because she was an orphan. Like you said, her parents had died. But then once she got to the kingdom, they no longer treated her like an orphan. They treated her like she was next in line.
Amen, amen, amen. We're going to talk about our next woman of God from scripture. And so we're super excited of just what we're learning and what the attributes of what women can do if they just simply put their mind to it. We can do anything as God leads us. And so we want to move to the next one. We've talked about Priscilla and we've talked about Queen Esther. And so we're going to have Tanya present now.
Okay. I am tagged with Deborah, and she's someone that I have always loved in the Bible. She is mentioned as the first female military leader. And that is so important because when you look at the responsibility of military leaders throughout the Bible, that is a very, very intense assignment. It's very, very intense. And it requires not only ability, but it also requires strategy. It requires wisdom because you're literally holding other people's lives, their livelihood in your hands. And she also, because she was also a wife, that's a whole nother responsibility. And her husband was very supportive of her. He was masculine. He was secure in his masculinity enough to say that my wife, this is the position that she's in. And he also respected God enough to say, you know what, this is what God has called you to do. You know, so that speaks levels, that speaks volumes. And the length of her rulership was, I think, 40 years. So, you know, she had a huge influence on the people. She's also the only female judge that is mentioned in the word as well. And I remember some years ago, I actually looked up like what were the responsibilities of judges. And judges are, you know, people that preside not only in battle, but they also preside over legal matters of the people. So she was also, she also made decisions in regards to certain legal issues that were going on with the people of Israel. So she was also a prophetess. So she wore many hats. She wore many hats. And one of the things that I that kind of stuck out to me was that where it was specifically, it mentioned of where she was sitting, that this was the her seat of where she was, and it was always under a palm tree. And so, you know, I looked up the significance and the symbolism of the palm tree, and the palm tree represents victory, peace, and life. And you see in a number of instances in the Bible, in the Word, where palm trees are mentioned or used. So, you know, she not that to me was God's seal of approval of her, that she was just not some rebellious woman who was just coming in Israel, and that she was just taking over and being in a position that she was not called to be in. But that was God's symbol of approval over her and the things that he had placed in, for her to do, and for how she ruled for 40 years and how there was peace, and how she even was, she served as a mentor. She served even as a mentor for men who were struggling in their purpose. And so I kind of tie that into some of the things that Priscilla did. So, you know, we see these characteristics of women in the Bible that the Lord used, that they were strategic, that they were courageous women, that they were nurturers, and that they were teachers, they were educators. And so, you know, and a lot of times when we box women off as educators, sometimes it's done in a negative light. Well, oh, she's just a teacher. But teachers carry so much weight and influence on our nation. They carry so much weight and so much influence, and they are extremely important to the fiber of the growth and maturity of our next generation of leaders, our next generation of doctors, our next generation of even ministers. So that was the take that I got from Deborah, and that those are some of the nuggets that I even try to implement even in my own life. So it's really important that we understand that women are not just a byproduct, that they're just not just, you know, we're not showpieces. You know, we have power. We have a place in history all throughout the Word, from Eve on to the end. So that's all the, you know, of what I've received from this awesome woman, Deborah.
Thank you, Tanya. Did anyone want to piggyback on Deborah? I just thought she was amazing as well. Another teacher, Olivia.
Well, they characterize her as a warrior. You do not get that from, you know, most, you know, they seem to think we only warriors if we beat cancer, you know, or if we're doing something like that. But they described her as a warrior from the get-go. Okay. That's how she was described. And I thought that was just amazing, because she wasn't sick. She wasn't battling something that she had to, you know, rise up for. No, because she was a general in this army. She was the head, and they called her a warrior. So I absolutely love all things that are powerful, you know, give us powerful characteristics in the books, period. You know, and I love that was my favorite part about that.
I like how, or I remember how when I was a teenager growing up, they used to say, you better get that Deborah spirit. And so I think what they were saying, now that I'm grown in wisdom, is that Deborah, she didn't question what God told her. She just said and did and had the faith to believe it. And so I think that's what they mean when they say have that Deborah spirit, have the faith to just say what you hear God saying, and don't deny what God has told you, because oftentimes, especially being a woman, you can be undermined about what you say, about, you know, if God told you some, period, they will undermine you. Like, did he really tell you that? Did he really say that to you? But when you stand up in your faith and you know for sure that you heard from God, you say it again, right? And you'll say it to the point where you won't deny Christ, because I think the worst thing you can do And this is for anyone who's going through something where God has told you something and you've spoken it to a leader and they're telling you to go back and pray again or go back and make sure it was God. But if you know for sure that it was God, stand on what God has told you, because the worst thing you can do is deny what God has said. It will not only make you look foolish, it will say, well, you know, it'll make you question your faith. Mm-hmm. And right now in this season, we can't be of old little faith. We have to, like, our faith has to be so strong. And I think that's what she showed us. She has prepared us for even the times that we're walking in right now, where we have to have a lot of faith and we have to stand on the word of God and what he says to us and through us and how he uses us, even if we're not, you know, per se the prophetess, but God uses us sometimes to pour into others. And we have to, you know, be mindful of, you know, when God is speaking through us so that we won't miss it, right? Or we won't miss that sister who is lost and we need to pull her up. This is why we're doing this today, because we're showing the courageous women who were able to, and us, even us now on this platform, are being courageous by even speaking and pouring out to the other women. So that's what I love about Deborah. So I'm going to tell each and every one of you, have that Deborah spirit. Keep your faith up. Be strong in your faith.
Love it.
Amen. Love it. Thank you, Tashauna, for sharing that. And as you were talking, I was just thinking, I know some years ago I heard, going back to how the old school church would say women shouldn't be ministering. And I remember this guy saying, you know, saying that to me, well, this woman, she shouldn't be a minister. And now, mind you, there were women that led me to Christ. My husband's mom, his aunt, they led me to Christ. They were powerful women of God, prayer warriors. And so I remember saying to this guy, just a practical statement, I said, so you're telling me that if there's someone's life's on the line and they need a word from the Lord, that God is going to wait for a man to come by and minister mercy to him or her. Mercy. I said, is that what you're telling me? Because if that what you're telling me, it doesn't make sense. And so if God said, if the word says, for God so loved the world, and when he redeems us back to himself, then he tells us to go to the four corners of the earth and preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. Why would he only be talking to men? I always say that because when people still are stuck in that mindset, you have to think of it from a practical sense that if somebody's life is on the line, God can use a child. He can use a little girl, a little boy. He can use anybody to minister his truth. We don't have to be standing in a pulpit. A lot of times,
that's right,
people think that, you know, we have to be standing in a pulpit. I remember when I was ordained, someone asked me, well, where's your church? Jesus said, go to the four corners of the earth and minister the gospel. So as we're recording, we're going to the four corners of the earth right now, ministering the gospel. And so I said, we don't have to be standing in the pulpit, because the problem is when we're standing in the pulpit, we're talking to each other. But what about the people that's not coming? And so we got to go out into the highways and byways. Even as a writer, that's ministry. And so when I'm writing my books, I specifically wrote my book the way I did so that Hannah wasn't in church when she heard the gospel, because the church is in us. We are the church. And when I heard people say, well, the church closed and we can't go to church. And I remember telling a lady, you are the church. What do you mean?
The church. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're the church. Mm-hmm. And so we have to remember that it doesn't matter when people start that logic that they try to figure out why women shouldn't be powerful in God, the same God that created all of us. Right. Why would he say he loves everyone, but he only wants to minister or he only wants one group of people to lead or minister to other people and cause them to draw them to him? And so we have one other person, one other woman of God that we want to discuss. And she is one of my favorites in scripture, Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. I am here for Mary Magdalene. So we're ready.
Yes. So once again, my name is Tashauna Hannah, and I'm going to be speaking about Mary Magdalene. Oh, my gosh. Mary Magdalene. I can relate so much to her. And just her story is just so beautiful. I've been crying all day only because, like, being able to relate to someone in such a way that I did with Mary Magdalene just inspired me to keep going and that I am going in the right direction. Now, a little bit of background about her. Mary Magdalene, she was the first to speak with Jesus after his resurrection. She was born, or she was birthed in a town called Magdala. I think it's called. And she was from Jewish descent. And Christ had actually ridded her of 7 demons. So some would say that not even just the 7 spirits, but just the 7 demons, but she had 7 spirits. And so that can be found in the Bible. And Mark 16 is where she gets her story, because she was the first person to see Christ resurrected. But before that, let's go back a little bit, because she also walked with God after he delivered her from the 7 demons. Then she walked with Christ. And some would say that she was the woman who poured the alabaster box on his feet and wiped his feet with the oil. She also was there when he died on the cross. So she was there through this whole journey. She walked with him, they said, 2.5 years. And what makes her great is that, or why people say she was a prostitute, is because she was looking for something that Jesus was waiting to give to her, and that was love. She was looking for love so much so that she didn't care who she got it from. One said that she was, looking for a man, or she was actually married to Amos and he divorced her. Because she was barren, she couldn't give him children. But it wasn't that she was barren, because if you keep reading about her, then you find out that she, you know, she was not barren, but she just wasn't loved right. And so she was looking for love, and Jesus was waiting to give that love to her. And that's what makes her significant. So if we go back, or if we go to John 14, Jesus tells the disciples and her, let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And he was actually preparing them for his resurrection, not for the second coming. And so when he died and he resurrected, he saw her and he told her not to touch him because he hasn't gone to the Father yet. But then when we look again at Jesus, he goes to the disciples, he meets up with the disciples, and he allows them to touch him. Why? Because he has already went to the Father. But her part in this, which makes her significant, even to the point of what we were just talking about, is because he told her to go and tell. So she was the first witness, and she was the first female preacher to go and preach about what just happened and what she saw. She was the first person to see Jesus after he, resurrected. And the thing that I love is that no matter her background, even when the men were like, You really want her on your team? You really, don't you know she's a prostitute? Don't you know she's an unclean woman? You still want her to follow you? And he's like, yes. And so to me, no matter where you are right now, no matter where your life may or where you may find your life at right now, you can follow Jesus. Jesus gives you the love. He's going to give you all of the love that you need. He's going to give you his Holy Spirit that comforts you when you feel lost and when you feel lonely. And so that's why I can relate to her, because we were all born into sin, right? Mm-hmm. But we choose our own paths. And so sometimes when we choose to go left instead of going right, God pulls us back in by using others. She had other people around her. She knew the story. She knew who John the Baptist was and what he was doing. So when you find yourself even backsliding, just know that God loves you so much that he doesn't want to see you go to hell. And so he's going to pull you back in. He's going to use other people like Deborah's and Priscilla's and Esther's to pull you back in so that he can show you the love, or, you know, give you the love. And so that's what I love about this story, because what she was looking for, Jesus was already trying to give it to her.
Yeah, I know this Mary, I'm Mary. Okay. I was the unclean woman. I was all of those things. And if my husband was telling me a story, my husband drives trucks, and he was telling me a story about a man and a woman. The woman used to be a stripper, all of these things. And some of the men, to piggyback off what you said, were like, why did you marry her? Why, you know, because that man saw something in that woman that nobody else saw. Okay. So, you know, my husband's like, well, you have to take the backlash when you start to come out in public, but so did Jesus. Okay. When he said, come on, Mary, you know, and whenever he knew who she was, he chose her, just like this guy chose his wife. Okay. It doesn't matter what people are going to say. And I always like to say, you know what? You're sitting around holding back your talents. You're not doing what you're doing because you're so afraid about what people are going to say. But they're going to talk about you anyway. And that's what they tried to bring up with Mary. You don't want this. You don't want her. Not her. You know, like, so what, he was going to wait till somebody else came along? No, he told her, and he sent her out there to tell them. Okay. And I love that about her, because even in my own church, even in my own life, I was Mary. You know, and people did shun me. People didn't want anything to do with me. But guess who uses me? God. So it's not for me to worry about what other people say around me, about me, because God is the only person that matters. And she knew that. God knew that. And that's why Jesus said, hey, look, hey, girl, you go ahead and tell us here. You know? Mm-hmm.
And then she went down in history with her name mentioned, not just one time. Even the woman with the issue of, and this is what I got, and let me just share this real quick. The woman with the issue of blood, yes, she was marked in history, but her name wasn't in the book, the Bible, anywhere. And she just wanted to touch the hem of his garment so she could be healed. But Mary came so she can be loved, and so he can give her that love. And he changed her name. He changed her name from prostitute to my child, to my daughter, to the one that I love. And she had this relationship with him that was just so grand. Her relationship with Jesus was so grand. And that's how Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to come and give him our tears. He wants us to wipe, you know, our hair on his feet. He wants us to lay all of our burdens to him. I'm sorry if I'm preaching, but this is so good to me, because a lot of people right now, they're wondering, you know, what are they going to do next? What is God telling them? What people are saying about them? But if you just touch the hem of his garment to the point where you love him over your circumstances, you love him more than you love your family, and you're in this season, God has us in our home so that we can pour our alabaster box out to him, that we can give him our love, because he loves us too much to see us die in sin. He loves us too much for us to just, you know, do what the world is doing, or to die before it's our time. And so he's preserving us. And so even in this time, we have to go ahead and pour out to God and give him our tears, because he said, those are who are heavy burden laden, come unto me so I can give you rest. Okay. And he's going to change your name. He's going to make your name great. You don't have to do it. You don't have to go sleep with someone because you think they're going to give you all of these riches and mansions. You don't have to kiss anybody's, you know, kiss up to anyone, any pastor or leader, because you want your name to be great, because God is going to make your name great, and he's going to use you, and he's going to use you for even a time as this. And that's what he did for her. That's why she was the only one to see him before he went to the Father. And so because of the relationship that he has. Do you know that God can be right in the room with you right now? You won't even notice. But when he opens your eyes, because even before she recognized who he was, she was like, asking a janitor, what did you do with Jesus' body? What did you do with him? Tell me where he's at. I need to see him. Like, where did you put him? And then he's like, Mary. And she knew his voice, right? And so mm-hmm. once she heard his voice, her eyes were open. And that's then right. she was like, wow, Jesus, that's Jesus, right? And so, oh, I can just go on and on. But this, oh. I love this story because God is just, God is just so good to us. Mm-hmm. And when we have that relationship with him, it doesn't matter what obstacle or anything comes in our way. As long as we know we have Jesus on our side, then we can do anything. And that's why she's an unstoppable woman, because she went and told them and they didn't believe her.
Just like Esther and just like Mary, both of them come from backgrounds that did not, you don't see in their backgrounds that they are going to be elevated.
Right.
Okay. You don't see that. Remember, Esther's an orphan. Mary is a prostitute. They don't see their elevation, right. but Jesus does. So when I am these women, because I'm not supposed to be sitting here talking to you all about Jesus, about God, about scripture, not me. I was a stripper. I wasn't supposed to be doing this. So they did not see, you know, their elevation, but they both came from two different backgrounds, no parents, prostitute. And Jesus used both of these people, these women, because that's what he does. And so for the woman that is sitting there, who's sleeping with a man because she's needing to be loved, that woman that is sitting back there talking about, I don't know what to do because I got 5 kids. I don't know my purpose. I don't know what I'm going to do. Jesus knows it. Just go to him. He knows it. You don't see how you're going to elevate now, but he sees it. He will elevate you, and he will use you to go tell those same people who talked about you. Okay, Jesus went to her. He used these women in the Bible, didn't matter what their background was. So there's no need for us to turn our noses up at people. There's no need, because we don't know what God has prophesied over their life. So I like to just kind of be good to kind of, you know, everybody as far as I'm concerned, because you don't know what God has in store. You don't know. And if you are a woman like myself who didn't know my way, who didn't know where I was going to be going, I didn't know that my life was going to end me up here talking about this. You know, I used to always joke that one of these days I'm going to be a minister. I used to joke about that, you know, and here I am right now to this day preparing myself, or he's preparing me, because this was nothing I did on my own. You know, something led me to Miss Denise. Okay, something led me to say, I would have never back in the day say, oh, I'll talk about the Bible. Me? No, girl, no, I want nothing to do with that. You know, I would have never been up here to say, I want to talk about the Bible. Oh, did I not say it with ease? I'll talk about Esther. I'll talk about her. And I studied it. But it was so funny because I had been being taught this word from my pastor as well. So I love this story of Esther and Mary, because no matter your background, you can be elevated to a queen. You can be elevated to Jesus's right hand. You know, I love all things about that. So any woman I hear who does not know their purpose yet, go to him, journal it, write it down, ask him humbly, ask him, where are you being pulled? Where am I being pulled? You know, I want to stop stripping. I want to get out of the ghetto. I want to do all these things. And that's what Mary did. She was like, look, I'm going to follow you around. I want to know you. I want to know all these things, and I want to know how. So I think what they didn't they almost say she was like a disciple? You know, it was 12 men and one woman. And now she's not surrounded by men because she's the prostitute and they're just looking at her and looking after her. Now they're learning from her. Tell me, there ain't nobody but God.
Amen. This is so awesome, ladies. Tanya, I didn't know if you want to give some feedback on Mary Magdalene.
Everything has been said. I did want to address on how and I think Olivia touched on it about her discipleship. because mm-hmm. she studied under Jesus. And a lot of times what happens even in the 21st century church is that we have this certain particular criteria yes. of who we are to sit under mm-hmm. and how we are to study. But Jesus, the only criteria that he ever had was that you were willing to be taught. And the reason why she was so special to ministry, the reason why he entrusted so much into her was because of her willingness mm-hmm. and her humility. And she understood the heart of Christ. She understood Jesus. He rebuked the religious leaders. And he says, you know what? You follow all of the commandments. You do that well. He says, but there's one thing that you lack, and you lack the love. You lack the heart of God. Yeah, you're following all the laws. You're checking them off. And so that was the thing that he came to bring full circle. And it was mirrored in Mary Magdalene, that not only was she humble because of her past, but she didn't allow her past to be a stumbling block to the point to where she couldn't hear from Christ, that she would pull away from studying, because where he went, she was there. She was there to serve. She was there to learn, and she was there to give. And so that is so powerful. That is so powerful. I know a lot of times when we tell her story, you know, we talk about the prostitution part mm-hmm. of it, or we talk about her demon possession, because, you know, you hear that narrative and sometimes it just gets beat down into you that, okay, this is, you know, that this is all there is to us. Right. But she was a soldier. She was an evangelist. And for her to have the courage and the fortitude to go to those disciples, these men, and proclaim what they supposedly were supposed to already know. And she went to them in so much boldness.
Exactly.
I mean, look, I mean, you think about it. This is a woman, and she's mm-hmm. walking into yeah. a camp of supposedly yeah. spiritual men. And she went with boldness. And right. she didn't take no for an answer when yep. they tried to dismiss her. Mm-hmm. So that says a lot about right. how much Jesus trusted, mm-hmm. not only just put in her, but he also trusted her. Yeah. And that is so, so powerful yeah. that regardless of what our background is, regardless on what other people say about mm-hmm. us, right. that if we trust what the Lord puts into us, what he deposits into us, and that how he can take those things, those circumstances, and how he can use those for our good. Because what happens is that it builds character. It teaches us humility. Mm-hmm. It teaches us not to be judgmental. It teaches us to have a spirit of being able to overcome. All of those things we learn through our trials and our tribulations. And some of it is not something that we put ourselves in. Sometimes mm-hmm. those are circumstances mm-hmm. that we've been placed in. And Jesus says, hey, and I think Tashana even mentioned this earlier, come unto me, that's you right. know, and we have to, mm-hmm. that is the gospel. That is the seat of the gospel message. And we have to continue to move forward in that and have that courage of Deborah, have that courage of Esther, have that fortitude of Priscilla, have that humility of Mary Magdalene. We have to encompass all of those things and understand that regardless of what people say and say, well, you know, you used to do this, or you're not good enough to do that, or you have this, or you don't have this. We are still capable, regardless of our gender, as long as we have the heart. That's as right. long as we have the heart to receive and to serve, that's all God wants. The Bible says in the Old Testament that all he wants is a broken and contrite spirit. That's all he wants, because he can't use us in pride. He can't use us in these boxes that society places us in. Right. It limits us from being able to reach our full potential in God. Mm-hmm.
Wow, 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 wow. Thank you, ladies. This has been awesome. And yes. I'm grateful for the people that are tuning in to us. And we just want to share that, again, women are powerful. Women can do anything. And God, you don't have to be afraid. And one of the things, as we've been talking, that came to my spirit is that as Mary Magdalene walked with Jesus, the Bible says that God looks at the inside, at the heart of a person, not man. They'll look at your outside, your outer appearance, and they'll judge you by what you're wearing or whatever you've been through or whatever you've done. But Jesus knew her heart. A lot of times we don't look at that either. He knew the heart of Mary Magdalene. He knew her heart desired him. And so it doesn't matter what man says, because if we don't have a test, we don't have a testimony. So if there's no test, nobody's going to hear us. They don't want to hear what you heard. They want to know what you've been through. And so that's why he allows us to go through the things he allows us to go through. He redeems us so that we can go and pull somebody else out. And so as women, I am so excited that we did this panel. We're going to have to do another panel. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. And because it was awesome that we make women understand, ladies out there, women of God, and even if you want to know Christ, as the women have said, and as Tishana, you know, when she started ministering, and so I want to say to Tishana, never say I'm sorry, because this is Hope in Christ Ministries. I just want you to know that. Never say I'm sorry when you're ministering the gospel of truth. And so,
amen.
We want to say to every woman out there that we love you, and we want to talk about real stuff. Mary Magdalene was a real woman, and she did some real stuff, and Jesus, the real God, redeemed her anyway. And so that's why he redeems us, so that we can go to the masses and bring them in. And so we're going to give our final comments, and then we're going to close out. But this has been so awesome. Thank you again for those that are tuning in and those that will listen to the replay. So Tishana, you want to give your final comments?
So there's a song, and there's even a scripture. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. And so I want to leave you all with that, because love is bigger than death. And so you may find yourself in a dead situation or in a dead place, but if you know you have God's love, and that we love you, and you keep learning about God's love, it's going to lift you up to a point where you're no longer even going to remember what you used to go through. Just like a woman in birth, she gives labor. She's in labor and she knows the pain, but after the child is born, she doesn't remember the pain anymore. And so I want to leave you with, love is going to lift you even in your dead situation.
Olivia, final remarks.
Courage breeds courage. Okay. The more you practice it, the more you step out of your comfort zone, the bolder you will be. You know, you don't have to be ordained a queen, you know, in order to step into your purpose. You don't have to be, you know, right hand to Jesus in order to step into your purpose. You have courage to do whatever you want to do. Just step out on faith and step out of your comfort zones. And because when you decide to follow Jesus, when you decide to have faith, he'll lead you to where you need to go. It's going to look scary. It's going to whine for a bit, but it'll straighten out. So please be encouraged, you know, that you will, all things are possible. All things are possible.
Amen. And then Tanya?
I want to leave with our listeners as well as our viewers that being a woman is not a curse. And I know that I come from a different generation where women were to be seen and not heard. And being a woman is not a curse. The Bible says that we are the weaker vessel, and it doesn't mean that we are weak and that we are frail or incapable. But what it means is that we're the softer vessel that needs to be cultivated, that needs to be protected, that needs to be nurtured. And in that is where God's strength is. So never, ever, ever, ever think that because you're a woman that, you know, you're incapable of doing anything, of doing great things. We've discussed tonight four women that have done amazing things, things that are now etched into history forevermore. And we want to make sure that you understand that your femininity is just a vessel. it's just a vessel, and it's a vessel that God pours in his heart. I always tell people all the time that God, when he created women, that he gave us his heart, the emotional side of him. And that is the strength. That is where his love pours. That is where his compassion pours. There are instances in the word where it said that Jesus, that he had compassion on them. That was his strength. That was his motivation for being able to do the things that he did. So never ever think that even when people say, oh, you're a woman, you're just being emotional, take that as a compliment. Take that as a compliment, because that means that in your being emotional, that means that that's where your strength lies.
Amen, amen, amen. And I'm going to, my closing remarks are related to Priscilla and remembering that she walked beside her husband. So I would say to every woman that's listening to me is that your God-given purpose is not fulfilled through your husband. Your God-given purpose is fulfilled by you. He has his purpose, you have yours. And he should be standing behind you 100%. Saying go in the Lord. And so I want to end with those remarks and just remembering that you are amazing. Women in history have been amazing. We want it to come from the scripture standpoint so that we see women in scripture, as much as it was male dominant during that cultural time, that they still were powerful women and they left a mark in history and they were talked about. Even now, we're still talking about those women. And so I wanted to end with that and say thank you all for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers broadcast. And we're going to pray out and just pray for women to walk in their destinies. Father, we thank you, God, for this time. We thank you for the women that are listening, the women that will listen, oh God. And we pray, Father God, that something was said to help women understand that they are amazing and you have given them a purpose and a destiny to fulfill. And so, Father, we thank you, oh God, that as they seek you, as they seek you out and not man and not man's words to them, but they will hear your voice and they will not follow a stranger. We pray, oh God, for the women to walk in purpose, to be redeemed, to be delivered, and then to go and get someone else. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you for all that you are and all that you will ever be in our lives. To women, men, boys, and girls all over the world, we thank you, Lord God, and we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. So again, thank you all for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers broadcast. We will be back having another phenomenal discussion next month. And I'm so excited about it. And I just pray that you will get something from it, and knowing that ministry is every time you open your mouth. Ministry is not standing in a pulpit. I don't know why God keeps putting it in my spirit, but it is every single time you open your mouth to help someone else come to Christ. Amen. Have a phenomenal rest of your day.